hear that voice for the first time and you're like, okay, kid, you're going places.
I mean, these rules that we have made up in our head are made to be broken.
I was beside myself with the song choices.
Only at Mean Girls could you see two Jimmy Award winners make out every night. And the only Mean Girls could offer you that.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway, the podcast where we deep dive into anything and everything musical theater from the comfort of my car. I'm Tara.
I'm Stefania.
And in today's episode, we are talking all about the Jimmy Awards. This is something that we talk about like constantly on multiple episodes. So we thought, why not dedicate a full episode to it? Because the 2021 Jimmy Awards actually happened this year.
Crazy. They were canceled in the year 2020. But they figured out a way to make it happen for 2021, which was very exciting to watch.
Now, we will say right off the bat that the 2021 full Jimmy Awards ceremony is no longer available to stream on YouTube. However, the best parts of the ceremony are there, which is all of the character medleys, the big like group opening and closing numbers, as well as all of the solo finalist performances. So all of the good stuff that you are looking for is still available on the Jimmy's YouTube page. But before we talk about that ceremony, let's talk about what the Jimmy Awards are in general.
The Jimmy Awards, the way I always understood it, was a competition between theater students from all around America competing with the roles that they did in their high school productions. Obviously, this past year was like slightly different, but you star in your school musical and then you're entered into a regional competition. If you win that, you get to go to the Jimmy Awards and represent that competition. And then they pick a winner from one, all the boys and all the girls there. And I think it's a scholarship program. So they get scholarship money. And even if you don't win, a lot of them will get some sort of scholarship money, awards. Even there's one like the kids vote on. It's really exciting stuff.
I think, is it always 72 contestants? I know this year was 72.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's grown as more regional competitions are added. Because I think in the beginning it was 50 kids, maybe less, 40 kids. I don't know exactly. But there was a time where every student could be in a character medley. And now I think they have too many kids for that. And they do a few character medleys and then a few bigger medleys.
It's also from grades 9 to 12, so I think majority, at least in all of the years that we've watched the Jimmys, a lot of the kids are in their graduating year, and if they win the scholarship, like, this is to directly fund their university, wherever they might go. But there are some surprises. There are some, like, young kids that come out and, like, really kill it in their performance. I know that there was someone this year that was in grade 9. Obviously, we will talk about Andrew Berth Feldman a little bit later, but he was also quite young when he won the Jimmys in 2018.
I think it's just, you know, most schools try to cast their graduating students as the leads of their musicals versus younger students. You know, you have to work your way up from the ensemble to the lead. So I think it just works out that way for the most part.
Unless you have someone that just, like, comes in there at the audition and, like,
a star.
Yes, and nobody else can compare, no matter what age they are.
It's true. But for the most part, in high school theater, you got to pay your dues in those first few years.
100%. So there are some interesting, like, kind of rules and regulations around the Jimmys. Again, we are not 100% sure how this year worked because, as Steph said, most, if not all, schools didn't actually put on productions this year. So I know that there was, like, an audition process. I also know that if your school did a virtual production, that did count this year, where I wonder if that's something that will continue as the Jimmys go on, because I don't know, like, some schools might choose to do, like, an in-person but also online, like, drama program if they can.
I think it should. I think, you know, hopefully we will all be able to get back into in-person theater by next year. But I do think virtual theater is more accessible. It allows more and more of the kids to be able to participate. It just different options. I don't think they should be closing doors on any of the options that these kids had this year.
Exactly. I agree. There's also a qualifying roles list on the Jimmy's website, which it's 13 pages of shows and corresponding characters. But I do believe the main rule for the Jimmy's is that to be considered someone that could be nominated for actress or actor, you don't necessarily need to be a lead character, but your character does need to sing a solo. You need to be on stage for a certain amount of time and in both acts. So that also does like kind of open it up to those like great supporting roles that kids can really like show off what they've got, even if you aren't the lead in a production, which again, we'll get to some of those when we talk more about the awards ceremony in general. But to talk about this year's Jimmy Awards, it was hosted by none other than the lovely Corbin Blue in what we believe was the Kelly and Ryan studios in Times Square.
You watched it before me and then I was watching it. I'm like, is this Live with Kelly and Ryan studio? I swear to God it is. Having actually, been there in person.
Yeah, but they said he was coming live from Times Square and they're not in Times Square.
So from the ABC studios.
In Times Square. Maybe it's Good Morning America.
It looked like Live with Kelly.
I know it did, but also it's a TV screen wall. It could be anywhere.
Just the way I could be making this. I could be, but just the room they were in, the way it was set up, like the brown paneling. I'm like, this.
And is also Live with Kelly. When they like shifted to the camera to Mandy Gonzalez sitting in the corner.
That's where they enter from. That's where they enter from. That's when I realized where they were. I'm like, that's where they come in from. Obviously, you know. As New York tourists, we have both been to Live with Kelly and Ryan.
I've never actually been to it with Kelly and Ryan, though. And
I've only seen Ryan.
I've seen Regis and Kelly is what it was called both times. But both times, one of them were out. So, and Kyle MacLachlan was there to replace both times. So that was exciting.
Did you ever see Kelly and Michael?
No, I didn't.
Well, you were their original Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, I have a Regis and Kelly mug.
Wow. It's a
whole experience, I know. Corbin Blue hosted this year's awards. The opening number, super fun. They did a really great mashup, and I was like, oh, I miss the Jimmy Awards, and I miss seeing these like kids perform, even if it is in their little Zoom boxes.
Who's it?
Just like everyone, I don't know, joy, like happiness, people getting to sing together again for the first time. And something that I really enjoyed about this ceremony is that they showed a bit of their like behind the scenes process and everything that happened on Zoom. And my favorite part was the cameras of their computers like pan down to their feet for the choreography that they were learning, and then we never actually saw the choreography.
This is a lie. We did see the feet in the opening number a bit, because I was just watching before we got on. A little bit of the feet. You know, normally we get a little video clip package of them in the rehearsal studios, and obviously that was not possible this year. So I am so, like, a side note, I am so excited for the day we get to say, obviously, get to stop saying, obviously that was not possible this year.
Yeah.
But it's coming soon. Okay. Obviously it was not possible for them to...
On a side note of saying that, like, I don't think anybody thought that a virtual ceremony would also ever be possible. So there are new possibilities out of this
100%,
pandemic as well.
100%. Yeah. You know, I wonder if having to be able to fly out there in a normal year was a barrier to entry for some kids. And this year, more different kids were able to participate because it didn't require travel. Mm-hmm. You could do it all from home. You didn't have to have a fancy costume to go.
It opens it up
in so much. So we got to see a package of how they rehearsed from home with the coaches who like give up their time to Zoom with 12, 16-year-olds and like coach them. And I loved that they didn't have one-on-one coaching even, that they still kept them in their groups so they could watch each other and give each other feedback and work with each other. I thought that was lovely.
I also liked that in between the character medleys, they would show like a sort of confessional with one of the kids, and spoiler alert, winner of the 2021 Jimmy Awards, Bryson, was one of the ones that they were had many confessionals from him. Obviously, he was a front runner as soon as he came into the competition. Again, we'll chat about his performance in a little bit. But something that he said after that character medley was that, you know, even though it was all virtual, like, we have a group text chain and we're now friends and we text mm-hmm. each other and talk about theater and all of that. It's like, that's part of also the glamour of the Jimmy Awards, is like these kids get to find friends that are interested mm-hmm. in all of the same things as them across the states. Like, that is, I think, to me, the most special part of this award ceremony in general.
A lot of times, you know, these kids are maybe the only kid in their school who cares this much about theater. And yep. then they go to the Jimmy Awards and they meet, you know, everyone is like them. Everyone feels the same way about theater. And that's very special.
Yeah. So more on this year's ceremony. I think we cannot talk about the Jimmy Awards without talking about the medley. And this year, again, a little different than normal years, but they did try their best to figure out some way to do it. The beauty of the Jimmy medley, if you have never seen a Jimmy Awards, is that there is six? I think it's six.
Eight? Sometimes more.
Yes. Split into actor and actresses in a medley, and they're all playing their character that they had entered or that they had won through their regional awards that now they're in the Jimmys. They're playing that character in full costume, and they sing like a snippet of either their main song that they sang in the show or like a song that the character sings, and everybody sort of sings along with. And whoever is like writing these medleys is always so smart to put lyrics together to have like the next character jump in right at the right part.
The beauty of the medley is that a lot of times you have someone like playing Tevye and then Phantom of the Opera, and they're, you know, sidestepping next to each other while like J.P. Arpont Finch sings a song, you know? So that is the beauty of the medley, in that they're doing backup choreography just like with a Phantom mask on. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's, or like with their Horton ears on or something. I don't know. They all these characters get to interact in a way you would never get them to interact. And sometimes yeah. it creates absolute magic.
Well, also, unlike any other year, this year, again, we're not 100% sure on the qualifications, so there were unlicensed shows that were featured in the medleys, but in a typical medley, a lot of schools somehow end up doing the exact same show, so you get, like, three Quasimodos, three Millies, three, like, Drowsy Chaperones, all in the same medley. It's
amazing. The legendary medley of five Millies.
Yes.
All in their little red fringe dresses.
That are like basically the same dress, but also slightly different. And it's like, yes, that school like spent the time to get the costume right. And all mm-hmm. five schools also spent that time to do the same thing. So yeah, I did miss that aspect of like people playing the same character this year. But the greatest medley to come out of the 2021 Jimmy Awards is Actress Medley Number 2. I was beside myself with the song choices. We start off really strong with Nobody Side from Chess. I text Steph. I'm like, I can't believe. Like, I can't believe this is happening right now. Never stay too long in your bed. Never lose your heart. Then we get a song from Disaster. Amazing. Disaster's like jukebox musical, but like also, who picks a song from Disaster? Great. Then we get maybe the most iconic performance out of all of the medleys ever, which is Screw Loose. Steph, I know that you love this song so much.
Just this medley, they're just picking my faves. You know, we've talked about all of these songs fairly recently. So
yeah.
Nobody's Side, Screw Loose,
we've got some Carrie in there. The girl that Amazing. Played Carrie, fantastic. She had like one of the best voices.
Her voice was so clear, so beautiful.
Yeah, then we go to like Diva's Lament from Spamalot. Then we end up at like Times Are Hard for Dreamers, Amelie, Light at the Piazza, I was floored. We were also not alone in thinking that this was the greatest Jimmy's medley. I need to read the tweet from Zach Schiffman. He said, this medley will go down in Jimmy's history. Screw Loose, Times Are Hard for Dreamers, Light at the Piazza, Carrie, my brain is beyond tickled. Like, yes, agree with that. He also, like us, there was a girl that was Diana singing in Next to Normal, but she was dressed as like potentially Wednesday Addams. And
she went very heavy with the under eye bag makeup, which I thought made her look, she committed to the character, but I thought it made her look like undead, you know?
Yes. So also Zach Schiffman tweets, the way I screamed when she was not Wednesday Addams, but Diana Goodman. And Steph was, yeah, me too.
She had like a cardigan on, I guess. It was very confusing. And then when she started singing, I'm like, I get it, but also a commitment to the under eye bags.
Yes. So I think, in my opinion, like these songs that were performed in these character medleys, again, I don't think anybody actually did a production or any of these productions this year. So choosing these songs, to me, this was like songs that they had in their list of should I be chosen as a finalist, because all of these songs, specifically in Actress Medley 2, felt like the solo performances that you would choose. And I do think that the solo performance song choice is make or break whether you are a finalist at the Jimmy Awards.
Well, even like someone in the other medley saying, I'd rather be me. And I'm like, your school did not do Mean Girls. That's not available for license. Or someone did The Wizard and I, too. Yeah, or Fiero. I mean, not The Wizard and I, but Dancing Through Life. I'm like, that show's not available for license. No. But the rules are fuzzy this year for everything, so I'm not going to get too mad about it. But
yeah. So the list goes down from, like, 72 to 16 to 8 to 4 to 2. So we do get to see 8 solo performances. And this, again, is what I was just saying of like, this is where you should pick that song that is going to make you stand out from the rest. And we cannot talk about this year's Jimmy Awards without talking about Bryson Battle and his solo performance of Heaven on Their Minds from Jesus Christ Superstar, which won him the Jimmy Awards. I was beside myself with this vocal performance over webcam, like over a webcam, you know?
So sometimes I was wondering who filmed this for them, you know, whose mother was like taking the camera out to, I don't know, the back deck for a new look. Cause they would do like a little like speed, like they would talk a little bit before their song and then they would do the song, but their backdrop would be green screened while they were singing. But while they were just speaking, they had a normal background.
I do think that they were potentially sent green screens or white screens or something, because every kid had sort of a similar setup. So I think in order to, again, like intersplice all of the different students into the medleys, like some sort of a green screen needed to be provided.
I think I saw that on some of the packages, green screens.
However, I do think it was a little heavy-handed of a green screen. We didn't need, like, flying lens flares in the background of all of these performances. The performance was, like, enough for me.
Yeah.
Choosing Jesus Christ Superstar as a solo performance is, I don't know that I've ever seen a Jimmy Awards where someone has chosen Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, maybe I have, but it's never stood out to me the way that this performance was, like, a professional performance. It was crazy. His voice is insane. But it's sad to see our chances weakening with every hour. Yeah, but was I blind? Too much heaven on their minds. It was beautiful, but now it's sour. Yes, it's all gone sour.
I feel like there are fairly standard songs that people sing to show off big voices like that. And he chose like an off the beaten path choice with this, what was it, Heaven on Your Minds from Jesus Christ Superstar. Like that was an unexpected way to show off his voice. Sometimes I feel like a lot of kids fall into the trap, we'll talk about it, particularly the girls, but fall into a trap of all of them singing the same songs. And I think this was a kind of cool choice.
Yeah. And then on the same beat, the Best Actress winner, Elena Holder, who I pegged as soon as she started singing Screw Loose, because, like, girl, what a choice.
Taste,
and also,
taste.
Like, the vocal performance, she optioned up. I was, it was, like, shocking.
What the heck can I do? Baby, I've got a screw loose for you. Tried to lock me away, but until the
she sang Last Midnight from Into the Woods, which is also a great song. Now, we've seen, like, Witches from Into the Woods in medleys in previous years, but it is, I do think, and I was saying this to you yesterday off the mic, that if this was a normal year and her school, let's say, did Into the Woods, yes, 100%. And imagine this girl showing up singing Screw Loose as a solo performance. The judges would have been beside themselves. Which Again. They obviously were.
Yes. No, I think when you come into the solos, that's when you normally get to be a little more creative with your song choice. You're doing things that maybe your school wouldn't let you do, or is, like, very unknown, or just wouldn't suit school as much. And I think Screw Loose, a show that didn't run very long and maybe doesn't have that name recognition, to do as your solo.
Genius.
Crazy. So much fun. But she got to, because of the weird year that they had, she got to do it in her medley, show off her kind of young character, quirkiness, kind of funniness. And then in the solos, doing Last Midnight, what a completely opposite character from, I don't even remember her name in Crybaby, but the witch, what a completely opposite character to sing, obviously, in terms of age, in terms of vocal range, in terms of tone of performance. So good. She really got to show off everything about herself.
It's the last midnight. It's the last verse. Now before it's best midnight, I'm giving you my last curse. I'm leaving you alone. You can tend the garden, it's yours, separate and alone. Everybody down on all fours, all right, Mother Wind. Lost the beans again, punish me the way you did then. Give me claws and a hunch, just away from this bunch and the gloom.
And also, she is someone, there are always these people in every year of the Jimmys, whether you're paying attention or not, you hear that voice for the first time and you're like, okay, kid, you're going places. So, like, watch out for her name, Elena Holder. She is a crazy good singer. Like, so clean. Like, I was watching the Jimmys live on YouTube, and the comments scrolling on the side were like, healthy belt, like, this voice. Like, it was so good. Everyone was so excited for her. And yeah, I think she's in grade 12. I'm not 100% sure, but there is, if anyone is interested, Broadway World did a profile on all of the 72 nominees from this year. They asked them all some questions. So there is more information on this year's nominees online. But I think what this leads us to is an important conversation of the solo song choice and what normally happens in years, but also, again, when we get these, like, really good song choice standout moments. So, Steph, I know you want to discuss Jason Robert Brown, but I also know that you want to discuss The Color Purple. So which one do you want to start with?
Wow. Okay, let's talk about let's talk about the women who sing that I'm Here and I Am Telling You, sometimes both.
Yes.
Sometimes one in the medley and one is the solo. Okay, I'm going to tell people, I don't want to say a unilateral stop, and no one has to listen to me ever. My opinion means nothing. I don't want to say a unilateral stop because some people can do it, but 99% of people should not do it as an 18-year-old.
And also for the solo, because sometimes the schools actually do The Color Purple.
Yeah,
so.
And if they're doing The Color Purple, you know what, sing your I'm Here in the medley and go on. But you should never sing both, in my opinion. This is like, no, my opinion means nothing, but don't sing both because you're taking these, like, two. You know, maybe 10 years ago, I'm Here wasn't as iconic, but now it just is. Mm-hmm. And then combined with And I Am Telling You, no, I think you need to make a creative pick. For the solo specifically, I think you need to make a more off the beaten path creative pick. Unless you are, I don't know, like, Jennifer Holliday herself sing something else.
Or, which we will talk about in our next episode, unless you are Vanessa Sears,
because
that performance, which again, we'll talk about in our next episode, so look out for that.
We were in Stratford yesterday.
Yes, I'm here. Maybe we should retire for the solos, but we were not let down with right out of the gate of the solo performances this year with It All Fades Away from the Burgess of Madison County.
Every freaking year, every year, some 16-year-old boy is like, I am Stephen Pasquale. I am going to sing about being 40 years old and dying. That's what I'm going to sing about right now. Every year, like without fail, without fail. But also the judges keep rewarding it, so I can't even be mad.
Well, not this year, but the 2019 Jimmy Awards was rewarded Ethan Kelso.
No, but they chose, every year they choose someone who's singing this song to go into that final four, you know?
Oh, right, because the judges know someone what the solo songs
fades
are.
Away. Yeah, that's what they judge them on. Someone sang It All Fades Away in the 2019 ones, too.
Yeah. And didn't someone sing Wondering, too? I feel
like... Yeah, Ethan Kelso sang Wondering. Another kid sang It All Fades Away in 2019.
Yes, and there are, if you listen to our Jason Robert Brown episode, Steph has talked about the fact that It All Fades Away is not a song for someone that is a teenager to sing because your voice cracks at that high note. Although this kid like kind of held his own, but also it was just fine. Like it's, yes. I just don't understand. And I almost want to put a little bit of blame, again, this is a hard year to talk about it, but in general, I want to put a little blame on the mentors because the kids come with, like, multiple song choices. Most of the time it's two. Yeah. So if someone is putting out a Bridges song or another Jason Robert Brown song, because I tweeted during the Jimmy Awards, like, should we start the JRB tally now? Like, it is every
year.
Single year. I feel like a mentor should say, like, why? Why do you want to do this? And also, if you, like us, I imagine some of these kids have followed along in previous Jimmy Awards. Like, why do we want to keep singing the same songs? There are other great vocal performance numbers that are not from Bridges of Madison County. Although an amazing song, but it's so hard vocally. And as a teenager, even harder.
Yes, and it is, this particular show is about, I think, some emotionally mature material that I think is difficult. I think, you know, I loved how Ethan Kelso sounded singing Wondering, and I thought that was a much better choice than It All Fades Away, just because I think It All Fades Away vocally is just so much. I also don't want to discount the fact that they probably choose their songs at the beginning of the week and they have to perform them at the end of the week after their voice has been run ragged. So maybe when it was selected, they were nailing that high note. And then after a week of singing it, rehearsing, nerves, being out of breath, it just doesn't work out as well. However, you need to take that into account too. I just think at one point, this was a creative choice. I don't think it's a creative choice anymore. And I think we need to come up with a new creative choice.
Yes. And it just feels like recycled every year. Like every year we are seeing the kids sing the same song. So I agree. Like, let's maybe move on from that. And again, I think like the mentors should know this too. Some of the mentors are there for multiple years of Jimmy Awards. You know, Montego Glover is a judge every year. How many times has she heard these songs, Vincent?
Has she heard a 17-year-old boy sing It All Fades Away? How many times?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know if I could take it, Montego Glover. But Bernie Telsey, help us. Okay.
Yes. Tara Rubin, like, where are you? Let's change it up. But then we also need to talk about the people that take, like, the left field and perform these great numbers. So we have talked about him on many episodes, but let's get into a little bit of the history of Mr. Andrew Barth Feldman. Andrew's medley was Catch Me If You Can, which, like, so funny to me that the school
doing
Catch
Me If You Can.
Now, this, I've said this on previous episodes, but his version of Goodbye, I was not paying attention during the Jimmy Awards that year. I had it on in the background. I heard this riff and was like, who is this kid? And then have still felt this way since watching him in 2018.
Goodbye. Off stage, I stand a better chance. The show is through. The part's been played. No standing in the wings afraid. No violins or phony tears. The word that's music to my ears is goodbye.
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 Goodbye. Goodbye. Andrew comes out to sing I Love Betsy from Honeymoon in Vegas, which again, a Jason Robert Brown song, but the correct Jason Robert Brown song, because it was a chance for him to show off his comedic side. And I don't think if he chose a different song, he would have won.
We were talking, curious about what his other option was and what his mentor kind of steered him away from or suggested to him, because this was obviously like a great choice for him because he is a funny kid and he was young. And so he got to, I don't know, be silly with it. It's from Honeymoon in Vegas, which was not a very well-known show at all. There wasn't really a risk of any of the other kids singing the same song, I don't think. So I think that was a creative choice.
It's been 5 years and I'm ready. Get the sparklers and confetti. Give a wink to the waiter and summon the maitre d'. Just like Jay-Z and Beyonce, I will make her my fiance. I love Betsy. I love Betsy.
I do think, I mean, there's not only five songs, guys. We can expand. There's not only five composers either, okay?
Exactly. And speaking of that, same year, you know we love her, Renee Rapp. Her medley.
Iconic song choice for the solo. Sorry, go on.
So her medley was Big Fish, which I've talked about on many episodes that I think her version of I Don't Need a Roof is like up there with the best Kate Baldwin version. Her solo... A left field choosing Chaplin. Like, what teenager is listening to Chaplin? And guess what? Renee killed it. That vocal performance is so good. And also, I feel like if I was a judge and I see Chaplin on a list, I'm like, oh, she thought outside of the box. But also at the same time, like, how is this going to go? Because that is a vocally super, super hard song. We know she's queen, she slays. So, like, obviously she did everything and it was like an amazing performance, but I do think that that song choice already put her at the top of the pack for the solos.
And all the king's horses and all the king's men will never put poor Charlie together again. And what you gonna do when it all falls down?
Yes, and I also do think there's something to, I mean, I love the Jen Colella version of that song, but because it's not from a super well-known or super long-running show, a lot of people might not have the original performance to compare it to.
Yes.
When you're picking something that everyone has heard a million times before, you have other versions in your head, whereas I don't think a lot of people had a version of All Falls Down to compare it to. So you didn't have that looming over that version of the song. You could just hear her interpretation of it and not saying, oh, well, Jen Colella did it like this, or, well, this note should be like this. Mm-hmm. It was just open and ready for her version of it.
Yeah, I also think about, we'll talk more about each of these people when we talk about the Broadway success, but I also think about Kyle Selig in 2010 singing on the streets of Dublin. That's also a song that is not... It's performed like off and on at like cabarets or 54 Belows, but for our teenager to pick that song, and I don't know how many other people would choose that because it's kind of a random choice. Like you're saying, like there's not much to compare it to. So it's a good choice for that reason.
I mean, it was right. I mean, Kyle Selig was the second year of the Jimmys, so nothing was played out at that point, but it was still like a great choice for his voice. You know, I could forgive more expected choices at that point. Whereas now, you know, 10 plus years later, no excuses, guys, no excuses. But yeah, Kelsey, like a great choice of On the Streets of Dublin. The girl that year, her name is Alexandria Payne. She sang Your Daddy's Son from Ragtime, an iconic song sung by an iconic performer, you know, and she sounded beautiful on it. But, you know, it's tough to live up to, you know, Audra winning a Tony, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting. Again, I want to talk a bit more about the 2021 song choices. And we started off, again, as we said, with It All Fades Away. Then we went to I'm Alive from Next to Normal, which I feel is a song that does not get sung that often at a Jimmy's.
I like this. It was upbeat. a lot of people sing ballads in this moment, but he's like, I have energy, you know?
Yes.
And played by a teenage character, so he's not reaching for different emotions, you know?
Yes.
He's a teenager playing a teenager.
This is something that I feel very strongly about, is the age range of the roles that you are singing. Obviously, like, sometimes your actual school production is your character is older than you are, but in your solo opportunity, why not sing a song that's more age appropriate?
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the beauty of school productions, is that kids are playing roles that they would never in a million years in their life ever play, even
yeah.
when they reach that point. You
yes.
know, you have, you know, a 16-year-old Dolly and Hello Dolly, or, you know, like
Great.
The Witch and Into the Woods or anything. But yeah, those solos, I think you should pick something that's closer to your lived experience, or something that you, that is, you know, I don't know if you should be singing a song for, you know, a man who's lived his entire life past his prime at 16 or 17 years old. I think that's the moment for you to show who you are.
Yeah.
Also acting.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
And
it's a tough balance.
It's true. It's very true. And again, with the age appropriate, also this year, one of the finalists, Justin Cooley, sang Time from Tuck Everlasting. Again, a show, a flop, obviously, but he chose the song because it's like one of his favorite songs. It's a very beautiful song, but it's mm-hmm. age appropriate. Like, that is the right age. Obviously, winner Bryson Battle singing Jesus Christ Superstar, not 100% age appropriate, but like an iconic song choice to show off what he has.
I mean, these rules that we have made up in our head are made to be broken.
Yes.
And obviously, Bryson broke them to great success.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of the times when people aren't successful is because they're breaking these rules, you know?
Yeah.
There's very specific circumstances.
And then just to go through the solo girl performances, obviously, we said Last Midnight, Into the Woods. We also got a With You from Ghost. She had a beautiful voice. That was a, like, shock for me. We did get an I'm Here. That did happen. And then we also got The Life I Never Led from the Sister Act, which is kind of a left field choice. This was the same girl, Ava, who sang Carrie from Carrie. So she also talked about how, like, she had seen this show and it meant a lot to her. And I do hope that this is something that they continue on in future Jimmys in person, is to give the finalists the chance, who are actually singing the solos, to talk about why they chose the song that they chose. They've never done this before, and I think it's a really nice addition that should stay.
Yes. Talking about With You, that is another song that has been performed in the solo round a few times, throwing it all the way back to the year 2013. Even Oblizada singing With You in
yes.
the solo round. Not winning,
yeah.
but
no.
giving her best ghost.
Yeah. I think we should move on to talk about something that I have loved for years and you just watched because mm-hmm. I told you that it was required viewing for this episode. And
it's great.
2012 PBS documentary, three-part series documentary, Broadway or Bust, on the 2012 Jimmy Awards. I watched this years ago and I've watched it like three times since because I actually love it so much. But I think it is such an interesting watch. And anyone that is listening to us and lives in Canada, it is not geo-blocked for us. So get on there and watch it.
The literal only thing on PBS that is not geo-blocked to Canada. But
yeah.
you know what? It's a secret. Don't tell anyone. Or maybe they'll block it.
Exactly. So, Steph, because you just watched it, what are your thoughts on this docuseries?
I was very emotional watching this because it does bring you right back to being in high school. A lot of the things that got me about this documentary was how vulnerable the kids were, how they are talented. Every single one of these kids is so talented, and yet they get put into these rooms with other people who are just as talented as they are, and the insecurities that they're feeling, and how they're comparing themselves to each other, and then the mentors whose jobs it is to lift them up, to make sure that they're feeling comfortable, to have them be the best that they could possibly be for their final performance for the judges. And it was just a lot, like, you know, Evan, feeling like, you know, he wasn't a singer, he didn't have as much talent as the other kids, and he felt like, you know, he was always undermining himself before singing, being like, oh, I haven't done this in so long, oh, I don't know, I'm like, you know, the funny one, not the talented one, and just, I don't know, like, these kids' insecurities was really, like, it brought me back to high school.
I think it is such a great look at this Jimmy process, because we've never really gotten the full behind the scenes look in other award ceremony years. And I feel like that's why as soon as I found it, I was like, this is great, because I want to know actually what goes on. It's actually like quite an extended amount of time that these kids mm-hmm. are there and get to like meet each other.
It's about
and
a week,
they
right?
talk. Yeah, something like about that. And you are put with Broadway stars as your mentor. You have people from like the Broadway League like coming in to assess your performances. Like, it's the real deal. It's professional stuff here. And as a kid that's in high school, I can only imagine how intimidating that must be to walk into a room with however many kids that are just as talented as you are, and to just be given the opportunity to like learn and grow and learn the business along the way at such a young age. And it is amazing to me looking back at the alumni Jimmy list to see how many people have been successful from these awards. But specifically in this documentary, someone that they focus on was actually the 2012 winner, which is Josh Grosso. He is, I think we had said yesterday that he was like in the final Les Mis North American tour, no, US tour, right before COVID happened to shut it down.
Yes, he'd been in it for a few years playing Marius in the US tour of Les Mis that was still running.
But something that was great about watching his process is getting to hear about the two options that he had for his solo performance and why he went with the Italian song.
Well, Liz Calloway, a queen in that scene, but she had to sing both songs. So this song from The Light in the Piazza, which I feel like Bridges of Madison County took over Light in the Piazza's place in Jimmy history.
The way there was a Light in the Piazza this year, but
You're right. They're right. But the way it had a chokehold on these kids, multiple kids were singing Light in the Piazza in this 2012 documentary. So he had this Italian song from The Light in the Piazza, or he had a song from Elegies. And he sang both for Liz Calloway, and she was like, I don't know which one to pick, going back and forth, back and forth. And then she's like, I think you should do the Italian. And he was shocked. He really thought that she was going to go with the other one, because it is kind of a risk to sing in a different language that the audience doesn't understand. I think the key was when he told Liz Calloway that he spoke Italian and understood what he was saying and wasn't just singing gibberish the way some people would be. Do you think Matthew Morrison understood what he was saying?
No. No.
Absolutely not, right? Absolutely not. No. Okay. Just confirming.
I don't. Confirming. I really don't.
When he first sang it, I was like, oh, his accent is good. And then he's like, I do speak Italian. I'm like, okay, this makes sense. This is why it sounds okay on him. Sono nel buio.
Also speaking or singing in Italian like sets you apart from everybody else in that competition.
Yes, it was
really at the end of the day, like no one is comparable to you at that point.
I mean, clearly the right choice. He did win, but it is a risky choice that completely paid off, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think the whole docuseries is worth watching, but part three is really so exciting, watching like them get ready, the behind the scenes action, like all of that, and then all of the performances on stage, iconically hosted by Deborah Cox and Constantine Maroulis that year.
Okay, I was shocked. That was the year of Jekyll and Hyde. That was the year I saw Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, wow. Wow, Jekyll and Hyde would be an interesting choice for a solo performance.
Just do the confrontation right at the end. What about the girls doing like Bring on the Men or something like that?
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, I do think that documentary is like really worth watching. And I wish there was another documentary that I watched. It was on Netflix. It's no longer on Netflix. And I don't know what it's called, but it was about the Freddie Awards, which I believe is a regional award ceremony that puts you into the Jimmy Awards, and it was like kind of the exact same thing. It is available in the States. I will put in the description for our YouTube viewers, but it's just like such an interesting both of these are such interesting documentaries to like get into these kids' heads and understand the process. Also, watching them walk on stage at the Minskoff Theater is so emotional. And the fact that these kids get to perform on like one of the biggest stages in New York, and then some of them actually end up on Broadway years later is so exciting.
Yeah, it's true. It's very touching. I don't know. This doc got me emotional. Watching the Jimmys gets me emotional. Like, I can't take it. Just, they're it's living like, your dreams, guys.
The Jimmys is honestly, like, one of my favorite days of the year when this show comes out. We always watch it. It's, like, up there with, like, the Tony Awards as the best awards ceremony that we get. And, yeah, it's just, like, exciting to watch the trajectory of these kids over the years. And I think we should talk about the impact that, obviously, the Jimmys has had on Broadway, because it's actually had, like, more of an impact than originally I had thought. So, I get, like, should we go in order of who is currently on Broadway?
Sure. Let's talk about, well, current is such a strong word for what's happening right now.
I mean, in 3 months or 2 months recently, or whatever.
Cast in current shows, or like was recently on Broadway.
So, I mean, let's start right at the top with A, and we've got, you know, our favorite Antonio Cipriano, who is
Bestie.
Yeah, we adore Antonio. He was a 2017 finalist. Also had a really good solo song choice of Lost in the Wilderness.
No, that's a bad song choice. I love that song. Sings this song. No. He sounded amazing on it. I love him vocally on it. I do think he has a bit of a blank face while performing it. Which but if you are under 25 singing Lost in the Wilderness.
But I don't know how many times I've seen kids sing it at the Jimmys.
You're right. I don't know if I've seen it at the Jimmys before, but it's not a unique song choice there.
Yeah. Antonio, obviously, in Jagged Little Pill, the age group of Antonio, Renee, ABF, like, that circle of stardom is, like, crazy to me. How these kids all, like, Antonio was 2017 Jimmys, Renee and ABF were 2018 Jimmys, and they're all friends. They're all in the same, like, friend circle. Obviously, Renee and Antonio together. And not all of them had Broadway success, but also now television success. And it is really interesting to watch and hear about the like babies of Broadway kind of branching out from the musical theater scene and making it into the television world. Like Renee and Antonio are both, I believe, have HBO shows coming out, which is like quite big. And obviously the only person that we have seen act on TV right now, because it is out, is ABF is in High School Musical, the musical, the series. And like, that is a huge, huge thing. Like, as this kid, like biggest Disney fan maybe in the world, to like enter the Disney family in TV, like, congrats to him.
Sorry, did you not see Antonio Cipriano's performance on God Friended Me on CBS?
No, I didn't.
I definitely did watch him play baseball on that television show, yes, with my father. It has been canceled now, but he was a one-episode guest character on the television show God Friended Me that I did watch.
Wow.
Back to High School Musical, the musical, the series. That French accent he's doing, can we talk about that?
I mean, like, okay, first when we had heard that he was in this, it was like, congrats, ABF, this is big news. Then when we heard that he was going to be a French character, I was like, well, obviously he's playing Lumiere, because, like, who else would this kid play with a French accent? Then we actually heard the French accent. I think it's funny.
It's comedy. The whole show, tonally, I think his accent works fine. Is it a good French accent? I can't even tell. I don't know.
I agree. And while we're on the topic of High School Musical, the musical, the series, because we are not going to do a full episode on it this year, an update on this season. Not as good as season one. We were like really had high standards because the cast had said that this season was way better. And spoiler,
they're wrong.
It's not. There are a couple episodes. Yes, Steph and I have cried at the last two episodes. So we can't say that we're not enjoying.
We've watched episode 9. We're up to episode 9 right now. We do have a watch party every single week where we watch together. Spoiler alert here, give you a time to like skip 30 seconds ahead. when Ricky and Nini broke up in that treehouse, both of us over like webcam crying. And then the week after, when Ricky called his mom to hear the song that he wrote, emotions just couldn't take it. Richard Bowen has a chokehold on us, okay?
Yes. I mean, Josh Bassett also, but Richard Bowen. It was 2 episodes back to back where I believe I used the words, I cannot believe this bad TV show has made us cry twice in a row, and yeah, I stand by it. Exactly. But also can't wait for Wednesday to watch the next episode. So. It is interesting, though, because again, this current point in time, we've only seen episode 9. ABF has not sung solo on this show yet. We actually haven't heard him sing at all. So I hope that's coming because, again, as like the biggest Disney fan maybe in the world, I hope he gets the opportunity to actually sing in a Disney show, which I'm sure that we will get something. I hope it's a bit of Be Our Guest since he is playing Lumiere, so we'll have to wait and see. A brief intermission on the High School Musical, the musical, the series, is we have like not had a chance to talk about something so amazing that has come out this year, and obviously Queen Olivia is on that show, but like Sour, like the album of the year, the album of our lives, don't even know what to say.
Yeah, Sour just means a lot to us.
I just think that like
as adult women
yes.
who were not recently broken up with, Sour means a lot to us.
Yeah. Also, I just like to point out that as we are watching, as Steph said in our weekly watch-alongs, anytime Ricky does something that's like questionable, we get into like
traitor.
All the things you did. Or, you betrayed me. You're a traitor. Like, got my driver's license last week. Good for you. Hope you're happy and healthy. Like, it is just, it is.
You said
it
forever. Now I drive alone down your street. That's the, that's the one.
I'm actually so excited for like 54 Below to be back because I know that they're doing a 54 Below sings Olivia Rodrigo, and I cannot wait for these videos. So I'm sure they will show up in an obsession in a future episode.
Yeah, she's just this album has been the soundtrack to 2021. So and getting to watch her act on High School Musical, the musical series, and then getting to hear her on the radio has been so much fun. Also, a plot line of this show, of this season of the show, they're trying to compete at the Menkes, which is kind of like, I don't even know, a regional competition for the Jimmys. That's what we're counting it as. They're competing at the Menkes for Alan Menken songs. Both schools are doing Beauty and the Beast. So it all ties together. It all works.
It does, for sure. And it's so interesting, too, because obviously, like, ABF, Jimmy Award winner, now also performing for the Menkes in a fictional TV show. So it has come full circle for him. But I do think that, like, also he's going to Harvard in September. So it's so interesting to me to think about him specifically. I mean, I would consider him as being, like, on Broadway most recently because Dear Evan Hansen, his run of Dear Evan Hansen ended in February of 2020. Obviously, he was scouted at the Jimmy Awards because, as we know,
sponsored by
Dear Evan Hansen. Michael Greif has made many speeches at a Jimmy Awards. So I guess when the director of Dear Evan Hansen is sitting in the audience and you do something special, he's probably going to cast you in his show. So, and it's interesting because we've obviously never seen his Evan. We've heard his Evan, but he was someone that for the longest time they were casting older kids. And then to get someone like him that was the correct age for high school was a really smart choice. And also we should say that Andrew was not in grade 12 when he won the Jimmy Awards. He was 16 years old, and that's pretty special to be chosen out of those kids and then not like have to wait a few years to go to Broadway, like immediately get picked up and put in one of the most popular shows maybe in the world. Like, it's pretty crazy.
Yes, it was pretty crazy. No, I remember his announcement day where the New York Times had a portrait of him coming out and it was like Jimmy Award winner. Andrew Barth Feldman is going to be the new Evan Hansen. Actually, something else we should mention, we talked about the documentary. There's a great Vulture Natalie Walker article about that specific Jimmy's, the 2018 Jimmy Awards, that one, Natalie Walker is just the funniest girl
She's
out
amazing.
There. So funny. And just the way she wrote that article about that kid, she got to observe the entire week. And the way she had a premonition about Renee Rapp being in Mean Girls. that is enough to tell you that you need to read this article because she's the best.
And I just think about also, like, obviously, I don't think Renee's Broadway announcement came as quick as Andrew's, both winning in the same year. But, like, she was, again, like, not a year later. It was, like, 6 to 8 months later, this girl is starring as Regina George in Mean Girls. Like, that's crazy. As an 18-year-old, like, what an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And we know, like, she has one of the greatest voices. I think that her versions of these Mean Girl songs are, like, some of the best that exist. So I wish all three of these Broadway babies the best in TV, like, I also don't come want back. Them to leave the musical theater world, you know? Like, we have been given a taste of the youngins, and I want to continue to see them, like, grow in their shows. So it's like a love-hate relationship with these Gen Zers. But some other people that I guess are, like, currently on Broadway. Obviously, we spoke about Eva Nobozada, who is obviously starring in Hadestown. She was a 2013 finalist. I know that her school did Footloose. I did rewatch her medley this morning. She sang I Need a Hero, or Holding Up for a Hero, I think is what the song's actually called. She's amazing. Like, Eva is so good. And another person that, like, not immediately after the Jimmys win, but, like, pretty shortly after, was pegged for Miss Saigon. So,
yes, amazing. Like, Cameron McIntosh plucked her, brought her to London, had her, I think, be in the ensemble of Les Mis for a bit, just so she could learn how it worked before putting her in as Miss Saigon, and then I believe she played Eponine in the West End, and then she came to Broadway doing Miss Saigon. So just the, like, train that she went on pretty soon after the Jimmy Awards, it can really be a jumping off point. What about someone like Stephanie Styles, who was at the 2010 Jimmy Awards, didn't win but was a finalist, and then in Kiss Me Kate with Corbin Bleu.
And also, iconically, she's on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Like, she has had also a bit of, like, TV life. Also, another person that we cannot talk about the Jimmy Awards without talking about him, Ryan McCartan. He was the 2011 Jimmy Awards winner. And something so interesting to me is I was looking at, on the Jimmy's website, they have, like, the winners and nominees alumni page. And Mackenzie Kurtz, who was Anna in Frozen, was the Jimmy Awards nominee in 2013 and 15, and they did Frozen together. Like, they were Hans
for about
and
a week,
Anna together.
But yes, they did Frozen, like, together.
Yes, literally a week. But, like, there are many people that you think, I mean, think of, like, Renee and Kyle, right? Like, both Jimmy's winners in shows leading
eight
the shows
apart.
Together. Like, it's crazy. Like, the fact that this little, like, baby award show has led to such great success is, like, so exciting.
Only at Mean Girls could you see two Jimmy Award winners make out every night. And the only Mean Girls could offer you that. Even someone like Casey Likes, who was a finalist in 2019, didn't win, but then was cast in Almost Famous pretty immediately after, or even maybe before, which hopefully we'll make it to Broadway sometime soon, but I love that they cast a teen to play that part because it's a teen in the movie.
Yeah, we also have, like, Jalen Josie, who was a 2014 winner. She was obviously in SpongeBob, again, like, did not have, like, a super long run on Broadway, but her voice is, like, truly insane, and I'm sure she has an amazing career ahead of her, so I'm not worried.
Her high school did Dreamgirls. And then her solo song, I believe, was Raise the Roof from Wild Party, which, amazing taste, amazing vocally for her to do that. I love that so much. In that documentary, actually, there's a girl who we get to see sing Life of the Party, I think, 700 times. And then when she wasn't a finalist, I felt cheated out because I'm like, what was the point of us seeing this cute blonde girl sing Life of the Party 100 times for her to not even be a finalist?
I was upset. Also, someone in that documentary who literally has, like, a little confessional moment is Adam J. Levy, who, again, 2012 nominee. He was a Dr. Podmer and Waitress, I believe, on tour, but he is now, I think he is currently doing that Laura Osnes's Broadway Princess Party has now turned into like the Disney Princess Party and is going on tour throughout the States. And I believe he is playing like all of the men characters in the Princess Party show. So
every prince. Yeah. Ever.
And it's so interesting to me to like watch his confessional about how he didn't feel like he could fit in and knew that he was talented, but like not just didn't know how talented he was. And now look at him. Like, I love these success stories for these people.
That's yes, gross, guys.
Which it's is nice. Why I think it's also great that they have an award for like the most improved of the Jimmy Awards, which is like the kid that comes in that's a little like shy, not sure, and then obviously by the end is like same level of talent as everybody else. Like, it's great to see like kids supporting kids. I don't know. It's like, it's very special.
I think the reason the Jimmy Awards are such a special experience is because even though they want to win and winning is very exciting, I think they make it so that it is a positive experience, hopefully, for every single kid there. Every single kid learns something. Every single kid gets to be mentored by these professionals and gets to have so much performance experience. And so just by not winning doesn't mean they lost out on anything. And the friendships that they create, it's such a positive experience for them. Can I talk about one more thing in the documentary?
Yes.
Okay, the deliberation scenes where they put the kids' faces on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I found that so horrifying to watch for some reason. Like, terrible. Like, I know that's how it happens. I know that's how it has to happen with them. Like, it reminded me of
The Search for the Next Elle Woods.
No, if you've ever seen Dance Moms, the pyramid, yes, where they have like someone at the top of the pyramid, the bottom of the pyramid, they would pick like 8 kids, they would watch everyone's solos, and then they would kind of pick 8 girls, 8 boys to watch out for in the final performance, because, you know, you can't focus on 50 plus kids every time. So they'd pick 8 kids out, and they'd be like, after the solos, okay, this kid, what about this kid? What about this kid? What about this kid? And then they just be like, no, I don't want him. No, that wasn't good. And it felt so like ruthless, even though I know it wasn't meant to be. They just had to make a quick decision about who's going to make it through. But yeah. I like, my heart was like breaking for these kids who maybe had to watch this after, see them being like, yeah, no, I'm not fighting for this kid.
Yeah, or see, no, that's the not this that's kid. The thing. In normal Jimmy's years, like, you wouldn't see that deliberation. No. So yes, the people that were a part of that 2012 documentary, like, they knew if the judges didn't love their performance. But also, like, yeah, it's, I think it's extra hard in that sense because of like how much we get to see them prep for that final night, and then like, everyone could have an off night. You never know what's going to happen day of performance. So if you have like an unfortunate off night, then your picture is thrown off of that pyramid.
And they can only pick 3 or 4 kids, you know?
Right.
They can't pick 50 kids. So odds are it's not going to be you.
No.
It might be, but probably not.
I do have to say, though, like, it is, as much as we say like how special it is for these kids to perform, the judges' choices have obviously also been really good. Like, almost everybody that's either been a finalist or a winner has gone on and had success outside of the Jimmy Awards, whether it be Broadway or national tours or whatever it is. The people that have been chosen have obviously been the correct choice. So it is interesting with like that little amount of
for
time
that moment,
for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
And but
yeah,
then there are also kids who weren't finalists who also have had
went
success
on
too. It's not necessarily the end all be all, you know, in that moment these were the right kids to pick and these were the performers, but one night is not your entire career, your entire life.
No. And I hope that like all future Jimmy Award performers know that as well, because at the end of the day, it's just an award ceremony and who cares about awards?
Yeah. It's big in the moment, but it's just a starting point for them, you know?
Yeah. Those are our thoughts on the Jimmy Awards. As we said throughout this entire episode, like, I cannot wait for the next in-person Jimmys, because, again, to watch those kids actually get to, like, interact in person on stage is truly the best part of the Jimmy Awards. And before we jump to our obsessions, just, again, like, a big congratulations to everybody who did the 2021 Jimmy Awards, who is a nominee, because this year, again, not the same as every other year, and the fact that these kids had to put on the performances that they put on to a green screen is very tough. Like, they're acting alone in a room. So congratulations to all of the 2021 Jimmy nominees. And with that being said, it is now time for our obsession of the week.
So my obsession is an album I've been listening to recently. And if you know me, and I've talked about it before, a Sondheim cover album is where it's at. So a singer named Alary Ward, she put on an album called A Perfect Little Death, and it is a kind of folk cover album of Sondheim songs. I saw it on Twitter and I was like, this sounds interesting to me, and it was perfectly catered for me. She was the girl, Tara, of the TikTok that I sent you, where she's like, what's a song that just gets you emotional? Like, what song that just gets you emotional? And she's like, The Morning Ends. I think about you. I talk to friends. I think about you. And I'm like, yes, girl, yes. Okay, so actually the song, the single from the album is Joanna Reprise that she does. It opens the album. It is just like absolutely stunning. I think she's filming a music video for it. It's not out at the time of record, but it might be out by the time the episode comes out. It's just absolutely beautiful. Just the way she sings, she's kind of like harmonizing with herself. It's so beautiful. These songs are masterfully written and can survive translation into folk songs like this or into disco songs like I've already talked about before. They're just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Her voice suits it so well. The way she's arranged this music is stunning. So yes, the album A Perfect Little Death by Alary Ward, starting with the song Joanna Reprise.
And though I'll think of you, I guess, until the day I die, I think I miss you less and less as every day goes by.
My obsession this week is actually a podcast that I've been listening to. Steph already knows this because I have been obsessed with the podcast, so I like had to tell her about it. And it is the Sentimental Men podcast. Now, if you know me, you know I love Wicked, and we follow them on TikTok, which is actually the first I had heard about this podcast. They are so funny. It is hosted by Quincy and Kevin, and I believe they're both like working somewhat in the Broadway community. I think it's like marketing. It is like such a funny podcast, and basically the premise of it is that they interview former or current Elphabuzz, which is always something that I am interested in learning about, like all of the behind the scenes from Wicked. I highly, highly recommend the Stephanie J. Block episode. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that she was saying, especially because someone like her, who is someone that was with the show like way back in the day when the lab started all the way through to Toronto with the injuries, like she's got lots and lots of stories. They're also like huge, huge Wicked fans. So if you are a Wicked fan and you want to listen to a podcast all about it, I recommend the Sentimental Men podcast. And also, if Kevin and Quincy happen to listen to us, like, we want to talk to you guys. I heard that you're fans of Rise, and we would love to talk about Rise, because I don't know if people know, but like, that was a flopped, failed TV musical show. It was a hot mess, but I would love to deep dive it with you guys. So if you're listening, we want to talk to you. But yeah, Sentimental Men podcast, I will put it in the description for our YouTube viewers. It's super fun.
I believe very early in our podcast, I said on the air, this is a Rise hate podcast. And
you did, but that's, you're saying that as someone that like never watched Rise all the way through.
I watched one episode and I had to quit.
Yeah, but Steph did say she will watch the whole thing if you guys are willing to come on.
That's so true.
That is our episode. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, you can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off2BeAwayPodcast. That's with the number 2.
And if you are watching us here on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.